Father, I thank you for the people who came out here this morning to sit at your feet and to be taught from your table. And Father, I just want a special blessing upon this teaching this morning, because this is something we have to really get down and deep into our spirit. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. God was weeping at the end of that prophetic word, and I mean, he was really weeping because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He really doesn't. His son paid a powerful price. God paid a powerful price. How would you like to give your son up and people reject him? I don't think I could have watched my son get beat like that. I don't think I could have watched my son. I know I couldn't have watched him carry that cross up a hill, then hang on that cross and have people belittle him. You know, I couldn't have done that. It takes a sovereign God and a sovereign Jesus to do what they did that day so you and I could go to heaven. I myself don't know how you live without God. You know, I couldn't live without him, because he's everything. He sees us through the fires, trials, and tribulations. I don't know if anybody else could do that. I really don't. I'm going to teach this morning about a builder that rejects the chief cornerstone. Now, the builder is you and I, all right? And the chief cornerstone is Jesus. And the builder that rejects the chief cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. 1 Peter 2:6, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Now, a cornerstone will sometimes be referred to as a foundation stone, and is symbolic of Christ, whom the Apostle Paul referred to as the head of the corner, and is a chief cornerstone of the church, and that's in Ephesians 2:20 is where that scripture's at. Now, chief cornerstone is a thing or person that acts as a chief support or part. I'm just going to share something right now, you know, after what God, he cried because some people in here didn't give their all to him. You know, my granddaughter, Alicia, she has cirrhosis of the liver, and they don't give her much time to live. And she needs a liver transplant or she won't live. And the other day she was at my house, and I said, honey, I said, you need to turn your heart over to God. And she said, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. And I said, no, but you've turned your back on him and rejected him, and now you need to turn around. And I didn't say if you turn around, God can perform a miracle, because God has told a few people she's going to die, but I refuse. And he told me that too. I refuse to accept that. I'm in a battle with God right now over that. But then that night, same night I told her that she needed to turn her heart over to God, she had a dream. And she was at a carnival. She walked into this one building. The man walked in there and stood up on a platform and pointed to her and said, you need to read Psalm 91. So she called me then. She said, Mom, what is Psalm 91? So I read it to her. The gist of the song is, if you turn your heart over to me, I'll perform the miracle that you need. Now that's God. That's God. Then I also noticed again that when God prophesied to us here this morning, the next song talked about praising him. And he told us in that prophetic word, if you praise me. Do you understand how good God is? You know, he's just absolutely, positively wonderful. You know, and why would you ever want to serve the devil? He never does anything good for anybody. He really doesn't. All right, I said a chief cornerstone is a thing or person that acts as a chief support or part. How to avoid being a builder that rejects a chief cornerstone. The goal of God in this new anointing that he has brought into the church, you know, the church as a whole, is to return the church to the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The goal of God in this new anointing is to return the church to the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I think the church has become too much of a showcase. I think we're too performance orientated. And everybody wants to be seen. Everybody gets decked out to come into, and I'm not saying don't do this, but everybody gets all decked out to come into the house of God to show off their outfits. You know, that's not following Christ. It really isn't. Now, our Jesus, all he had was a white gown all the time, right? And I'm quite sure as he walked the dusty, dirty streets, it was quite dirty. And I'm quite sure every time he sat down to minister to people, he wasn't clean. All right? Now, I'm not saying come to the house of God dirty. I'm just saying the house of God has become a showcase. All right, the correct foundation is not just what Jesus did in redemption, but what he commands as Lord. Once the foundation is properly laid within us, the house of the Lord can be built. And this is what God has been doing to us from this up to this point. He's been trying to lay the proper foundation with inside of us. And now he can build the church with each one of us individually. Becoming wise master builders. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. The eternal foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rest and we build upon him. See, if you don't have Jesus inside of you, and if you're not Jesus-minded, then you're not building on the right foundation. That's the only foundation you can build on. It is wisdom to build the Lord's house with only Jesus in mind, because we must be the central figure of every effort. I'm sorry, because he must be the central figure of every effort. He must abide as a living source of all our virtue. If everything you do isn't centered around Jesus, then you have a crack in your foundation. Everything you do should be centered around Jesus. How you dress, how you act, you know, everything should be centered around Jesus. Remember, Jesus sees everything. You know, we might hide things from people, but you can't hide anything from God. Ephesians 2:17 tells us, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Let's read that one again. And he came and preached to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, this is talking about Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, Jesus had all access to the Father, right? Well, then, they're telling us here in Ephesians that through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in his Spirit. Each one of us in here, we have to build on Jesus. And as we come together, then it says, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, as we come together, you first of all are the holy temple, but as we each come together, gather together, we make the church, and this building becomes a holy temple, and whoever walks through those doors can be ministered to through the Spirit. Amen. There is a tendency to unconsciously avoid the teachings of Christ in favor of some other emphasis from the Scriptures. You know, a lot of preachers just hype. They do not do anything for you, but they can run around and shout and sweat and scream, and it's all hype, and the people get hyped up too. And I don't believe in hype, and that's why you don't see me doing that. I've seen enough of that craziness, and people leave just as bound as when they came in. So hype isn't where it's at. It's the Word, and Jesus is where it's at. All right. We make our favorite teaching the cornerstone of our church, rather than the life and power of Christ himself. That's what big churches are doing. Then we find ourselves attempting to make disciples in our own image instead of his. Have you ever watched people in some churches? They act just like the pastor. They walk like him, talk like. In fact, Perry Stone said, all of his disciples, you know, he has a jerk. He goes like, I think it's like this. He said everybody that comes up underneath him have that same jerk. You know, whatever you're around, that's what you become, right? Jesus said, and so anyhow, since that happens, then why can't, if we have Christ in us, why can't we walk around holy? You know, if we can walk around humans a jerk or do whatever they do, then why can't we walk around holy? Jesus said, Luke 20:17, the stone which your builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. They rejected Jesus, and he became the chief cornerstone. We cannot separate what Jesus says from who Jesus is. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus and his word are one. Let's look at how the Lord associates himself with his teachings. He said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what would judge him at the last day. See, that's why you need to be preaching and teaching the word, because that's what's going to judge the people. What they heard, what you taught them, what they... See, you shouldn't rely on anybody to teach anything. You should read the scriptures for yourself. And that way you'll know the truth, because a pastor can twist that truth. Or evangelist or whoever. They can twist that truth. But if you know... I went to a church one time with my sister in Virginia, and nobody carried a Bible. They didn't have the words up on the wall. And he was teaching out of Kings. And I said to my sister, I said, that's false teaching. And her husband said, what do you mean? Because he really, really did like the pastor. I said, well, we go home, we're going to open up, we're going to get a Bible. We're going to open up, and we're going to look, because this man has twisted that scripture. We went home, we got out a Bible, and we looked at it, and they said, oh. I said, so you need to start carrying your own Bible, bring your Bible at home, and then you'll know if the scriptures are being twisted or not. Because he never read, they just let him go ahead and teach, read the Bible to them the way he wanted to read. And they didn't even carry one to follow along. And Jesus warned in Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Jesus exposes our hypocrisy by saying in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So anyhow, if you read the word, sin is sin. And so if you're sitting under a pastor and says, if it feels good, do it, that's sin. Because what we say, why do you call me Lord, 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 and do not do what I say? If he says it's sin, but your pastor says, well, how do you think about it? Do you feel good about it? And they say, yeah, well, then go ahead and do it. I mean, that happened to me. They weren't saying that to me, but they were saying it to somebody else that I was ministering to as a deacon in a church, and she was in adultery, all right? And so I went there as a deacon in the church to talk to her about it, and when I was talking to her about it, she started throwing up. See, I didn't know that's what you did when you was being delivered. But she went to the bathroom. Meantime, she called the pastor, and the pastor came, asked me what I was doing there. I said, well, I saw sin, and I came to talk to her about it. And then she said to the person, well, do you like what you're doing? She said, yes. She said, then go ahead and do it. And she told me, she said, don't ever come and tell her she's doing wrong again. Now, that woman's blood is off of my hands because I went to her, but now that woman's blood is on the pastor's hands. Are you understanding this? I'm sorry, if it feels good, go ahead and do it. It's not in the Bible. I don't read that anywhere. I read in the Bible, you should live holy. You should live righteous. All right? I don't care if a pastor tells you it's all right to do it or not. The Word of God says you shouldn't do it. Christ and his word are one. We must always remember that Christ and his word are inseparable. You can't separate Jesus from his word. There's just no way you can do that. Jesus was not a man who became the word, but the eternal word who became a man. He was the eternal word who became man. His very core nature is the word of God. Where, therefore, to reject or ignore what he says is to reject or ignore who he is. Now, Teresa Ann was telling me that somebody told her there's no place in the Bible where it says if you're homosexual, you would go to hell. So Teresa Ann said, well, I'm going to get the word and I'm going to prove it to you. And I said, call Chris Gore. He'll tell you exactly right where it's at right this second. I don't know if she did or not, but I said, because you won't have to look it up. Just call Chris. He's a walking Bible. He'll tell you right where to. I always do that. Don't it, Chris? Chris, I'm looking for this. I can't find it. Where's it at? So he gives it right to me. See, that's good to be a walking Bible. I never could memorize a Bible. I couldn't. Well, no, I shouldn't say it. I just couldn't memorize a Bible, all right? But I know it's in there. See, if you know it's in there, that's good. Then you have to have the Holy Spirit tell you where it's at. But Chris isn't the Holy Spirit, all right? But he does know where it's at. All right, we cannot build the house of the Lord if we do not honor and build upon the whole range of Christ's teachings. We cannot build the house of the Lord if we do not honor and build upon the whole range of Christ's teachings. You just can't take one and ignore the other. You have to take the whole word and build upon the word. Somebody told me once when I was first born again, you don't ever read the Old Testament because it's done, you don't pay no attention to it. Well, you know, as I was reading, God said, go back and read the Old Testament. And the two of them blend together. And so why would a pastor tell me not to read the Old Testament? But, you know, we have to have a mind of our own. We have to be walking in the Spirit. We have to be hearing from the Father and quit allowing man and woman to dictate to you how you should act. The Word of God tells you exactly how you should act in all areas of your life. Unless we are teaching our converts all that He commanded, we are not making disciples. You know, every one of you in here have a ministry. So God's still trying to teach you how to do your ministry. So unless we are teaching our converts all that He commanded, we are not making disciples. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So if you have Jesus in you, then we have all authority the same as Jesus does, right? If we use His word and use it properly. We need to ask ourselves, is there a process in which new converts can become disciples of Christ? If Jesus is truly the designer and builder of this house, then we must come to Him for the architectural plans. You know, every convert is not the same. You're not going to be able to take every convert that you're trying to make a disciple and do it like they're not clones. You're going to have to know from the Holy Spirit exactly how to minister to them so they can receive the truth. Now, you know, I know that a lot of churches, and this is good. I'm not saying it's not good. You know, they have, if you're a new member of their church, you don't go into this church service. You go into another room, and then they teach you what a new convert should be. And that's great. But everybody isn't going to understand what you're trying to tell them. So you have to be in the Spirit as you're teaching. Look around and see who's not understanding what you're saying, and then give them some extra attention alone. And teach them what you're saying. Are you understanding this? That's why sometimes I'll repeat what I say because I look around and I see somebody going, what'd you just say? Or I'm sitting down and somebody's teaching and I wish you'd watch me every now and then because you just said something that went right over the top of my head. And I want you to look at me so I can say, can you repeat that? Because if you're teaching me something, I want to get the whole thing. I want to understand everything that you're trying to tell me, all right? You know, we get Brother Brett up here, and he knows it all. So, you know, no, I don't mean he's arrogant. I mean, he knows what he's teaching. So he just rattles on, you know, and I'm thinking, stop and go back and say that again. That was important what you just you just said it and went on. You have to go back and tell that. It's very, very important that we get that in our spirit. So when you're teaching others, just make sure that you really empathize what they need to really understand, all right? That's why sometimes I'll say, Brad, will you go back and say that again? Because he never looks at me when he's teaching. I don't know why, but he just doesn't. But, you know, we just really need, when you're teaching, look at the people. You can tell when you've lost them. All right, I'll tell you, get awake. See some of you trying to fall asleep, I'll say, get awake. You know, I know I've just lost you because you lost interest in what I was saying. All right, so what I said is if Jesus is truly the designer and builder of this house, then we must come to Him for the architectural plans. The building code of the kingdom must be obedience to the words of Christ. That's the first thing you tell anybody. You have to be obedient to everything that Jesus tells you to do. And Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So, if you do God's words, you're not going to fall. When all those winds come blowing at you and the storm gets really raging around about you, you're not going to fall because your foundation is Jesus Christ and his word. I was the other night, we was going to church, and that song, "The Eye of the Storm," come on. I told Larry, I love that song because one time when I was really, really going through a lot, God said, "Run to the eye of the storm." So I went to Larry and I said, "What happens in the eye of the storm?" He says, "Perfect calm." And wasn't that neat? But God knew that I was really being, you know, tossed to and fro, and he spoke to me. He said, "Daughter, run to the eye of the storm." In other words, run to him. Find my refuge and safety in him and quit placing my eyes on the storm. So that's what you have to do. Every time the enemy comes after you, run to Jesus. And there you're going to find peace. So I said, "Church, the storm is already here, is it not? If we are to endure, we must be built upon the rock. We need to understand that you cannot build your house in a storm. You ladies that used to hang your clothes on the clothesline, you know what it's like trying to hang your clothes up when the wind's blowing them every which way, slapping you in the face and everything else, you know? Well, the same goes through it. We need to understand that you cannot build your house in a storm. Your boards are going to fly away. You're going to have to put stones on top of your board. So you know, you see, I build too. You have to put boards on your stones so they don't flip-flop in the wind, you know? And you have to take care of things. So it's better to do it when there's no storm and the wind is still. And then you can build really good because you're concentrating on your building, not with your stuff flying away. It is through the Spirit and words of Christ that the house of the Lord is built. It is through the Spirit and the words of Christ that the house of the Lord is built. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 16:14, "I will build my church. I will build my church." I can hear him say that. "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." See that? He did not build us, guys, so that the devil can come and blow us off course. He did not do that. He built us so we could be a strong tower for others to run into. The apostolic foundation. Multitudes of Christians today know what Jesus did, yet remain stunted in their spiritual growth. Why? All right, I'll say that again. Multitudes of Christians today know what Jesus did, yet remain stunted in their spiritual growth. Why? Without realizing it, they have not made the teachings of Jesus the cornerstone of the church. There are so many false doctrines out there. I can't stand a religious spirit when they come up here. They really act up. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And they speak in tongues, and you tell them, "Please be quiet so you can receive." And then they even get louder, you know. That's a religious spirit at work. If you're really walking in the Spirit, you're going to come up here and you're going to stand and just let God minister to you. I remember one time, you know, when I was younger in this, I was used to do really bold things with some. There were some people up here, and they were standing, and then I used to go down and minister to people. And they were standing there, and yeah, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." They wouldn't receive nothing. I said, "Just stand still. You're bound. I'll be back." And they fell down in the Spirit. They fell down because they didn't want me to come back. Now, see, I mean, Brother Chris, I can't believe you said that to them. But, you know, that was Jesus. He just wanted to let you know, you're bound. Because the things just come out of me, and I don't even know I'm going to say them. But those ladies then falsely went out in the Spirit. Don't do that. Just go sit down. But don't pretend you're laying there in the Spirit whenever you just don't want me to come back to you. All right? And, you know, when you can't receive from this, then you're bound somewhere in the Spirit, man. You're just bound, and you need to be set free. So why run away from that? All right? Brother Larry was preaching to me coming down here, and he said, Katie Souza says that when you're sleeping is when the miracles happen to you, because your spirit man never sleeps, but your mind does. And so at night when you're sleeping, your mind is out of the way, and so the spirit man can work and you can get healed. I thought that was sort of neat. Did you like that too? Yeah. The Apostle Paul emphasis centered upon salvation. Paul always talked about salvation. That was the center thing. Faithfully bringing us to Jesus. He didn't bring us to himself. He brought us to Jesus. With great wisdom, Paul presents God's plan of redemption in Christ. Paul's message revealed what Christ did, but Paul himself was built upon what Christ said. Say, if you know what Christ is saying, then you can minister to your new converts, because your message will reveal what Christ did and who Christ is. Paul did not become Apostle Paul apart from the words of Christ dwelling in him richly. You have to have the word of God dwelling in you richly to become Apostle Paul. But it is Jesus, not Paul, who reveals the Father. All right? Paul can't reveal the Father, but Jesus can. Christ's Spirit and his word, like none else in history, has the power to restructure our souls, conforming us inwardly in true accessibility to God. Christ's Spirit and his word, like none else in history, has the power to restructure our souls, conforming us inwardly in true accessibility to God. I am convinced we as a church have lost sight of Jesus in the blur of Christianity. We've lost sight of who Jesus really is. We lost sight of what the Holy Spirit's function is. And this is why you don't see Spirit-filled churches. This is why you see churches that just have services. And God's taken us back to the basics. He's taken us back to Jesus, the cornerstone. And if you don't want to go back to basics, then I don't know where you're going to. But you're going to have to go back to basics, to your first love, and realize that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and that is who you're building upon. Jesus must be the very cornerstone and foundation of our lives. Paul is in absolute agreement with emphasis upon Christ. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:3-6, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicious, useless wranglings, which is constant friction of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. That's just like this, the pastor there in Virginia. Come to find out he was committing adultery. Left his wife. Married this other girl, then left her, married somebody else, but these are all people in the church he was running with, and he was up there preaching heresy. All right? So Paul said, from such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, we're missing the entire purpose. When we seek to build upon the foundation other than Jesus, the results are everything but Jesus. And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ. It's everything but Jesus. Only Christ can create Christians. Paul based his teaching on Christ's own words. Look at what John taught in 2 John 1:8-9. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. I don't care what you say. Take it to the Father. He'll let you know. Not unless you really don't want to know the truth. And then that spirit will come and he'll lie to you just to make you believe you're all right when you're not. And this is what's happening too in the body of Christ. People don't really want to straighten out. And so they have this here spirit that comes and tell you what you want to hear. I hope that everybody in here wants to hear is the truth. And then whenever you hear the truth, if it's something wrong, then you get it together. Come on, this is what deliverance is all about, guys. This is what deliverance is all about. It's whenever God reveals the truth to you about what's really going on inside of you, then you go and you get set free. And too many people say, well, I mean, I have noticed, and God has spoke to me too and said that a lot of people now are doing this self-deliverance thing, and it's because they really don't want to be set free of everything. They just want to be set free of some things. And I'm going to have Brother Brett do a teaching on self-deliverance. But if you're going to do self-deliverance, and it's because you really and truly want totally and completely set free, maybe you might be a little bit embarrassed to go out and have somebody else know what the world you've been into. But if you really want to be set free, then let God set you free as you do self-deliverance. But I'm also here to tell you some people are so bound they can't do self-deliverance. All right, the priority of this hour is for the church to abide in the teachings and spirit of the Lord Jesus. So anybody in here, you have a ministry, when you go out there, Jesus has to be the foundation. All right? And then from this foundation, the house of the Lord will be built. We have been like Peter speaking to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:4. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles. You know, we want to erect buildings instead of having Jesus. We are so ready to offer a plan to God instead of simply hearing and obeying Jesus. You know, Peter got all excited. Well, we'll build you some tabernacles. And, he didn't know what he was even talking about. We don't know what we're talking about a lot of times, too. I said, don't laugh at Peter. Peter was just really anxious, and he really was excited, and he was just talking out of Peter. And we get that way, too. And we need to quit doing that. We need to stay calm, and we need to be speaking through the Spirit, and then we'll be doing what is right. I believe the Father himself has had enough of our ideas and advice, don't you? Well, now, God, if you do it this way, you know. In his love, God is interrupting our programs with the same word with which he interrupted Peter. In Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Hear him. So I said, God is interrupting our programs with the same word with which he interrupted Peter. If you go back and read Matthew 17:4, you'll see what he said to him. But then the Father is saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. So you're supposed to be listening for Jesus, listening to what the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and that's what you're supposed to be building your foundation on. Now, guys, I want you to understand one thing. Some people come into the house of God already messed up. They're Christians, but they're already messed up. They already have a lot of false doctrines in them. And those type of people, if I said that to them, they would think it was all right. But you have to understand, you have to really search yourself really hard. Have I really been making Jesus Christ the foundation of my life? If I have, I won't be in these sins. So since I'm in these sins, then I haven't made Jesus the foundation of my life. Truth. That's truth. So what I have to do now is to get myself together. In other words, get myself cleaned up and make sure that Jesus is my foundation, that I am in his word and I am doing what his word tells me to do. And his word says, be ye holy as I am holy. So if I'm out here sinning, then I'm not holy. Now, that's the truth. And so therefore, then I don't have the right foundation under me. So if I was you, I'd break that foundation to smithereens. God said he'll pulverize it to dust if you don't. And then I'd say, all right, God, it's you and I. And I want to remake my foundation. And I want that foundation to be Jesus Christ. I want that foundation to be your pure, honest word. And not what I'm preconceiving it to be. We have to get our dead, I'm hearing this, we have to get our dead minds done away with, and we have to have the mind of Christ, and then we'll start doing the things that God's calling us for to do. So I sit here, God has been trying to get our attention. Are we listening? He's been trying to get this little hand, churches like ours are all over the world, okay? So it's just not us, but these little handful of people are gathering together. God's trying to get these, they're called forerunners. He's trying to get these forerunners right, so we can send them forth to save a lost and dying world. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the blind lead the blind, everybody falls in the ditch. So God's been trying to take the blinders off of our eyes. He's trying to give us the eyes of Christ so we can see really what's going on around about us, even in our own lives. and not walk in deception, but walk in the truth of God's word. Get yourself set free, so then God can send you forth to set others free. Now, God said he's going to send the people in, so he won't be going out to set others free. You'll be working with others inside the four walls as well as outside the four walls. So if you're not cleaned up and your foundation isn't Jesus Christ, then how are you going to, all of a sudden you get a deluge of lost souls in there. How are you going to minister to them? You're going to be sitting there saying, duh, what do I do next? Instead of the Spirit of God rising up within inside of you, which is supposed to be in you, instead of it rising up inside of you, you're going to be standing there with egg on your face, not knowing what to do because you're not walking in the Spirit and you're not Spirit-led, so you don't know how to minister to anybody. Like I was telling, you know, the other night, I was taking my microphone off. I was getting ready to go home to get Isaiah out of here. And all of a sudden, God just said, I want you to draw these three men together. And then so I knew I couldn't take my microphone off. And then he just started, you know, I went to take it off again. He spoke to somebody else. In fact, I took it off, and then he spoke to somebody else. And I looked up, and here, there's Aaron holding his own, Adam, holding his own microphone as I prophesied to him. So you see, that's walking in the Spirit. You're Spirit-led. My mind is saying I need to get Isaiah out here because he's carrying on. But Jesus, the Jesus in me is saying, you're going to stay here and minister. And I'll take care of Isaiah. Do you understand this? Now, see, if I wouldn't be walking in the Spirit, I'd just take my microphone off and walked on out of here. But because I walk in the Spirit, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying you need to do this. That's why I have a pulpit, because I walk in the Spirit. A lot of people have a pulpit that don't walk in the Spirit. But if I wasn't walking in the Spirit, I wouldn't be standing here because I don't have anything for you. But Jesus has everything for you. Jesus is everlasting peace. And I'm hearing him saying, I'm the everlasting Savior. And I have all that you have need of. You know, Jesus does. And so each one of you in here today, you've got to start saying, I need Jesus as my foundation. I need Jesus as my sure rock. And I need to get out of this stupid flesh. And I need to don't open your mouth at all if you're not walking in the Spirit, because you'll let everybody else see how dumb you are. Are you listening here? Because what will come out is stupidity. And I don't think you want that. And what will come out is brashness, hardness, and it won't be God. So what you need to do is, if you're not walking totally and completely in the Spirit, just keep quiet and just say, God, I really need to walk in the Spirit totally and completely 100%. And he'll do that for you. But he has to know that you're sold out. He has to know that you really want this with all your heart before he does it. So this morning, I'm hearing God say he doesn't want you to transgress any more of his word. He said, if you're calling yourself my child, then I want you to be my child inside out, just not lip service. So if you really and truly want to have Jesus as your sure foundation, if you want to come up, Jesus said that he'll also make you stand on a rock, and your feet won't be able to be moved from that rock ever again. And God's also saying some of you really need to learn about holiness. You have to learn how to walk in pure holiness. And you have to get rid of some of your ideas that you have, because they're slowly killing you spiritually. And so just let the Spirit of God move upon you. Be holy as I am holy is what God tells us. He said, I'm the rock and the sure foundation. And that way he told Peter, you're the rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. Isn't that what he said? You all want a following. You all want to go out there and minister, but nobody wants to really die totally and completely out to self to make Jesus your all in all. And God's saying he wants you to do away with foolish gestures. No more foolish gestures. He is your all in all. He's everything that you have need of. Some of you in here, God said he's going to give you a brand new mindset. Your mind's been all messed up by things that you have perceived or things you've listened to that weren't really not of him. He's going to give you a brand new mindset. He's going to let you see into the spirit realm so you can know the truth. And then that truth is going to set you free. God's also saying, some of you in here this morning, he's going to give you the wings of the eagle so you can soar above the worldly things and soar into the heavenly places with him. So you're going to be receiving a lot as you're laying out here before him this morning. Don't let anybody disturb you. Just stay there and just receive everything he wants to give you this morning.